Mark, the book of Mark, chapter number 2. I'm only going to read just a very few verses there. Mark 2:14 beginning. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, "How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Verse 17 would be our text. They that are whole have no need of physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We started out in verse 14, and in these just few scriptures, we can see the call of Matthew. Matthew had a job that caused him to be hated and cut off from that which was considered the elite religionists of that day. Although it appears that Matthew was a Jew, he had a job hated by the Jews, amen, as a publican. Those who were his friends, were ones that were an outcast, just like him. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Orthodox Jew that day, were not the ones a sinner would want to keep company with. The animosity between those two factions was at a high pitch. There was so much cheating and thievery going on at the customs that Matthew's job was considered the lowest of the sinners. To those who had religion, the sinner was one of contempt, inferiority, and scorn. Those gathered at Matthew's house, amen, were no doubt some vile sinners gathered there, and some who did not believe in the traditions and the regulations of the scribes and the Pharisees. Naturally, Matthew was all excited because of his friends meeting his new friend. What a difference there was between Jesus and the Orthodox Jew, the scribes, the Pharisees of that day. There was no hope for the sinner as far as the Jewish religion was concerned. The sinner was looked upon with condemnation, arrogant superiority. Now, Jesus is not opposed to ones being good, and certainly Jesus isn't against good morals. But there has to be a need. When an individual is so good that he doesn't need any help, the outstretched arms of Jesus are to no avail. Jesus can't help the ones who feel they don't have a need. Those that are whole don't have a need. The day and age, church, that we're living in is needy but has no needs. Revelation 3:14, very familiar. But let's read this morning. Revelation 3:14 to the church at Laodicea. Unto the angel or the pastor of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. Cold, you can get help. Hot, you're on fire for God. But lukewarm, you have no need. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Then Jesus, in our text, brings up the physician. He said, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What's Jesus saying? A doctor goes where he is needed. He administers to the sick ones. And this is also true in the spiritual realm. Jesus was doing the same thing. He was sitting in a place where there was a need. He didn't come to call the righteous, but he came to call the sinner to repentance. God has always had a healing for those who are sick this morning. But look how deceptive sin is. It caused the religionists of that day who had a need to get a holier-than-thou attitude that cut them off from receiving help. Sin, this morning, church, is like a poison that once it enters your soul, or like a poison in the bloodstream, it spreads through the whole man and defiles it. It caused the blindness to come over the eyes so they could not see their own need. Sin is deceptive, working spiritual death. Paul said in Romans 7:11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. That word slew just simply means to kill. Sin kills. Amen. It's like a locust hit the land. It kills everything that has life and tries to destroy all that are exposed to it. It kills love between a husband and wife, between brothers, sisters, family members. It destroys friendship. Sin caused Cain to rise up against his brother Abel and actually take his life. Genesis 4th chapter. Verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth. His countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Here we have the first literal murder recorded in the Bible. Two brothers who were in the process of bringing offerings to the Lord, amen, and it turned out to be a seedbed for murder. Cain's rejection didn't cause him to take a look at himself and why he was rejected, but rather he took his anger and frustration out on his brother. Here we have a picture of two types of worshipers. One who wants to do things their way, and also one who wants to please God. Hebrews 11 chapter and verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. It wasn't because one bought a sheep and the other bought things grown on the ground. The scripture says, Cain brought his offering in process of time. His time. And Abel brought of what? The firstlings. Firstlings went to the Lord. Amen. One came by faith in obedience. The other came because he had to, and with envy in his heart. Instead of being protected of his younger brother, he turned on him with envy and jealousy. There's not a look that is angry, envious, or malicious that escapes God's all-seeing eye. Malice in his heart, when it was finished, brought forth murder. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest well, not well, sin lieth at the door. And to some of you this morning that's not doing good, is sin lying at the doorstep. Amen. God dealt with Cain's rebellion in verse 6 and 7 when he asked him, why is thy countenance fallen? Amen. His pride caused him to reject the mercy of the Lord and caused him to even deny the crime. Cain wound up catching all of the fear of God. I don't believe one's realized this morning how awful sin really is. I honestly believe that. I believe the fear of God has really been lifted off the people today. Amen. Don't even realize how awful sin is. Do you know it caused God to remove Adam and Eve from the garden? It does a terrible, destructive work. It hurts its victims. It wounds their hearts. Amen. It carries no sorrow. Back in the book of Mark, where we read, we see that there was a real problem between religion and sinners. It seems like the attitude of the Orthodox Jew and the sinner was compound. There was contempt. Amen. Jesus loved the common man, but religion despised the common man. Amen. They stood aloft and looked down at the sinner. Jesus came and sat beside him. And in doing so, there was always help in time of need. Then there was fear. Amen. They were afraid that they also might become infected with their sin. Like a doctor who would refuse to treat an infected person because of contamination. There was a missionary who had four lines he loved to quote. And this is really, as I read this, this is really good. The missionary said, "Some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." It has been said that man has fear and contempt in his heart can never be a fisher of men. God's children, you know, do you know we're fishers and we're hunters? There are several fishers and hunters out here. Amen. Jeremiah 16:16 said, "Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord. They shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, out of the holes of the rock." Jesus said, they that are whole, those who have strength, those who have no need of a physician. Just like a physician is at home with the sick, Jesus is the same with sinners and those who have needs. Now I want to talk to us, church. There are those who have been in this congregation for years. In those years, it seems as though they never have a need. Never. They never ask for prayer. Never go to an altar. They know the doctrine. Very good. They also know the form. Very well. What they don't seem to remember is that all have sinned and come short of the glory. Everyone needs Jesus Christ. You cannot be raised in a church home so good that you don't need Jesus Christ. Those who feel like they have no need, amen. To get your need supplied, you're going to have to do it the same way any other sinner would do it. Amen. How is that? Through repentance. Repentance, confession, forsaken sin is the only cure for sin mentioned in the Bible. It's difficult. That's the title of my message. It's difficult to find a sinner. To find one who's sick of their condition. Amen. Here Jesus sat right amongst sinners. Amen. Where there was needs. And the religion of that day also had sin in their life. They were under the old law. But the only difference was they didn't feel they had a need. And oh, you got to watch this religious hypocrisy where you look down on those who maybe are bound, those who are caught up in things. Amen. And pray like the publican did. Amen. And the religious man. the Pharisee, how he prayed, he's glad he wasn't like that publican was. Some people can get that attitude, holier than thou. Amen. Amen. Now, it's difficult to find ones who are sick of their condition. To find one who does not have an excuse for their condition today. My question would be this. If you're not saved, but if you're not saved this morning, whatever excuse you got must work at the judgment. It has to. Amen. Now you can get by down here, but you'll never get by the all-seeing eye at the judgment. Amen. So it must be real good. Your reason for not being saved must be real good. Somebody might say, well, I will get saved. In time, I'll get saved before I die. My only question to that is, when is that? You must have it down pat that you know exactly how your life's going to end up. But it's hard to find one who's dissatisfied. Do you know that God is a specialist at deliverance? Look at all the different things that God has delivered people from in this congregation. You talk about going to a specialist. He's a specialist at delivering a man or woman from sin. Speaking of Israel when they were in Egypt, which is a type of bondage. Exodus 1:11 said, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramesses. Verse 13 says, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, mortar, brick, all manner of service in the field and all their service, wherein they were made to serve with rigor. We know that's a type of sin and bondage. And that's exactly what happens when you're serving the devil. You may think that you're free, but I guarantee you, Satan has control. Amen. Their cry came up before the Lord. Amen. And God had compassion and mercy and sent a deliverer and Moses. God called Moses, who I have talked to you about, who's reluctant to go, and said, who will I say the Israelites has sent me? And oh, I tell you, when I read this, it's something. Exodus 3:13, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what's his name? What shall I say unto them? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. That takes in now, future, and eternity. I am God. Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. God sent Moses and Aaron before, amen. God sent Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh with the request, let my people go, that they may hold a feast for me in the wilderness. Well, you know the story. The Bible says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened as the plagues begin to fall upon Egypt. But the last plague, the death of the firstborn, so devastated Pharaoh that he sent the Israelites away. But although Israel was sent away, Pharaoh and his army pursued them with chariots in haste up to the Red Sea. At the Red Sea, with Pharaoh in pursuit, Israel came to a standstill. Fear struck their hearts as they were boxed in. But we read in Exodus 14:13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which we show unto you this day. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. There is no deliverance like the deliverance God can bring. Moses lifted up the rod, stretched out his hand over the sea. The waters depart and leaving a path, a dry path, for Israel to go through. The Bible says Israel went through on dry land as they crossed over. Pharaoh and his army wanting to take the same path, but sin don't travel the same path of righteousness. All that pursued the children of God was destroyed. That's what happens, church, when you and I come to the Lord. All those things that pursued you, all those things that troubled you, all that sin that bound you is destroyed. It's taken away. Amen. John 1:9. You know, we used to quote this scripture all the time, but stop and think of what John is actually saying. If we confess our sins, he, speaking of Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and it cleanses from all unrighteousness. Every bit of unrighteousness you had in your life is taken away. There was no way you and I were ever going to get loose from the bondage of sin except we get introduced to one stronger than the strong man. When I came to Christ, I was so bound. Alcohol, I don't like to relate all these things, but alcohol, tobacco habit, gambling habit, after hours, don't care attitude. I was really, really bound, and I know most of you here in the congregation, and I know a lot of your experiences, and you are in the same condition. But we just don't come to a church and join a church. We come to Jesus Christ, and we get translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. What is the first commandment? Exodus 22, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, otherwise to have no other gods before me. The house of bondage. We were housed in bondage. Bondage in every direction we went. But the Lord brought us out. But you know, church, it's difficult to find a real sinner with a need today. We so changed our terminology today that sin has lost its disgust. Over 50 million babies aborted, which is really murdered, but it's called what? Abortion. That dresses it up just a little bit. Same-sex marriages, which is sickening, is called a legal union, but it's really perversion. Men wearing women's clothing and women wearing men's clothing are called transvestites. But God called it an abomination. Living together without being married is called live-ins or partners, while the Bible calls it adultery. There have been ones right in this congregation still married, having a fling with somebody else, and I want you to know you're an adulterer. It's exactly what you are. You're not a good person. You're an adulterer. And you're living in adultery. Amen. Don't confuse love with lust. Don't get them confused. In the midst of it all, there's a great physician available if one would really, truly admit their condition. Those that would need throughout the Word of God, you'll found their needs supplied. There's ones right here in the congregation. I know personally in their lives. Amen. They had a need and they got their needs supplied through Jesus Christ. Others don't have a need. They come to church. They're as faithful as those, amen, that are saved. But they don't have a need. They're whole. They don't need a physician. They're not sick. And that's where you have to be, sick of sin, to get help. I could name several that got help in the Bible. I won't go through all of them, just name a few. The man who had a legion of devils. There was Zacchaeus, a woman with an issue of blood. Cornelius, those at Pentecost. The Apostle Paul. On and on we could go of ones, amen, who stand out in the Word of God of getting their needs supplied. Amen. But there's also one in the Bible that stands out, and we read it many times, who had earthly possessions. And earthly possessions were to him more valuable than his soul. Isn't that terrible? To think that you could have something on this earth you think more of than your soul. Matthew 19:16. Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Amen. Thou honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, almost in an arrogant way, almost in a boastful way, amen. He said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions. Those great possessions were in his eyes. Right. What's stopping you this morning to have a need? What possession do you have that's so valuable that you won't humble yourself before God? It must be something. It must be something you're hanging on to. There must be something that's keeping you in that condition where you can set service after service after service after service. There has to be something that when God troubles you, this thing pops up. And you make the decision. I'm going to stick with that possession. Just like the rich young man who went away what? Sorrowful. Sorrowful. See, riches don't bring you joy. He went away sorrowful. That's what happens many times at the end of a service. When the altar call is given, ones go away sorrowful, for they feel that they have something they cannot part with. You and God and the devil know exactly what it is. Why is it so difficult to find a sinner today? Well, ones don't want to be called a sinner, start out with. They'd rather say they're making mistakes. They'd rather say they had some faults, but dare not say that they had sin in their life. It's hard for people to relate to that terminology of being a sinner. They wouldn't want to think that they, anybody to think that they went to the altar in that category of being a sinner. But listen, dear ones, and I'm just about through. I'd much rather confess my condition here than on my knees begging for mercy at the judgment when the mercy cannot be attained. As we close, in the amount of people that's here this morning, is there anyone in this house, this tabernacle this morning, that has a need? If there is, rest assured, Jesus will supply it if you give it to him. Amen. Father, we thank thee this morning for all that you've done. You've certainly been good to us. You've been faithful to us, and we're so thankful.